Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is your host, Dale Lippin, here with a new episode of the Tuesday Touchback with the co-host of all co-hosts, the co-hostess with the mostest. Soup, what's going on, bro?
Nothing much, man. Happy to be here, especially after the weekend that we had. I was ready to get back, you know, ready to talk about it.
Yeah, this weekend was fantastic. It was good. If you went with our public picks, it was great. If you went with our Patreon picks.
Yeah. We murdered this Lincoln card. It was like we were Justin Gaethje and the Lincoln card was James Vick.
Right. Well, you took one look at it and just completely snuffed it out. It was over before it started. Yeah, so to sort of recap, I mean, the whole premise of the Tuesday Touchback, so to recap the card, we'll just start at the very first fight. So to give you guys a little insight, a little behind the curtains peek, as far as our Patreon supporter only picks, the first fight of the night, Luke Sanders, Rani Yahya, I was basically gutted at this fight because I thought, oh no, this is going to be one of those cards where, you know, I'm going to get everything right or I'm going to get everything wrong. And I chose Luke Sanders and Rani Yahya just came out and just snatched his ankle like it owed him money and got the tap almost immediately. The Luke Sanders experiment, as far as I'm concerned, is done and over with. I've watched this guy fight three times now and was excited all three times just to be let down three times in a row. I am absolutely done with Luke Sanders until I can see that he's got something to prove or that he just got something else. It was bad. It was really bad. As soon as Yahya got him in a compromising situation, he just basically gave up the submission, sort of like a Cub Swanson kind of deal. It was gross. So yeah, that was one of the Patreon fights that we had. I'm trying to think of what else was on that card Patreon wise that we missed, because we just did so well. The other one that I missed was the Corey Sandhagen Yuri Alcantara fight. I know you were working, Soup. Did you get to see any of that?
I did not. I really didn't get to tune in until basically the end of the Michael Johnson fight. I caught the end of that, and then obviously, you know, the minute and a half of the Justin Gaethje fight.
Right.
So I missed almost all of the undercard. And, you know, I caught a little bit of the co-main, but, you know, the entire main event.
So, Corey Sandhagen is great. He's a high volume fighter. He walks forward. He's real big for a bantamweight. And Alcantara just came out, took him down and snatched him up in one of the most brutal high arm bars I've ever seen, and actually popped his elbow and dislocated it. And Sandhagen refused to tap. And the referee that they had in there was highly inexperienced and he just let the fight keep going. Which ultimately worked out in Sandhagen's benefit because Alcantara wasted so much energy basically trying to continually break this dude's arm that he gassed himself out and then took, I don't know, maybe no less than 60 unnecessary shots before this ref finally stopped it. And actually just posted on social media today, he's getting surgery tomorrow on his face because he broke a whole bunch of bones around his nose. Cause Sandhagen just, I mean, he mushed his face. He just turned his face to mush. So I mean, it's that bad that the guy's got to get surgery. So it lets you know how incompetent that ref was. It's bad. It's real bad. So yeah, that we missed that one. So if you were, in the know enough to be with us for our Patreon support cards, supported portion of the card, we did fantastic. Those are the only two we missed. And we got the James Krause, Worley Alves, 4-1 underdog pick right as well. So we crushed that. So yeah, it was a good night. So as far as the main card goes, we'll go with what you saw with the Gaethje James Vick fight. What'd you think? Initial impressions?
In the first 30 seconds, the two body shots that James Vick landed with those body kicks, I mean, he not necessarily rocked Gaethje, but took the wind out of him. And as soon as I saw that, I was thinking, man, James Vick's going to win this fight. He looked comfortable. He looked like he knew how to use his length. And he looked like he was going to be able to avoid chaos. And that lasted for about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And Gaethje had his way. And he got Vick backed up against the cage where he couldn't control his distance. And Gaethje, you know, fought like Gaethje fights, like a Diaz brother. He walked him down and got him up against the cage. And all it took, man, with those sticks of dynamite attached to the end of his arms, all it took was one, and Vic slumped. And, you know, it reminded me of when Machida knocked out Rashad Evans.
Yeah.
Body slumped up against the cage. It was awesome. You know, I was Gaethje from the get-go. You started with Vic. You came to, you know, you came to your senses.
Right, thankfully.
Went with the Gaethje pick at a plus 110, and the guy's too exciting. I didn't think there was a chance he would lose three straight fights. And, you know, he's a force to be reckoned with, man. It's nonstop chaos when he's inside the octagon.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing with the Vic pick, and there was a couple things that I started thinking about leading up to my decision to ultimately go with Gaethje there was, like I said on the podcast, I didn't have myself sold on Vic's ability to avoid the brawl. Because, you know, I said somewhere around the third round, because I figured he would be more mobile and do a better job at aggressively controlling the distance, which he started out the body kicks. That's a good way to do it. You know, every time a guy gets near you, poke that leg out, make him pay. The problem is that, you know, Vic has to reset. Vic has to reset into his stance after everything. So you see a lot of guys like if you watch the Michael Johnson fight, Andre Feely fight, do you notice how like every time Feely would get close, he would switch stances to something else. Then he'd come at him again. He'd switch stances again. And it was constantly giving Michael Johnson different looks. He didn't necessarily have to reset every time. James Vick uses a technique, has to reset, And in those 1 to 2 seconds that he has to reset, Gaethje closes the distance. And I thought Vic would do better about, you know, perhaps staying on his horse, but he was flat footed from the jump, and Gaethje made him pay. So yeah, that was a good call. You mentioned the Rashad knockout. Another one that's very similar to that, to this one, especially in appearance, is Kamaru Usman and Sergio Moraes. If you get a chance, look at that one up. He hits him and he does the same thing. It's like the same sort of weird tumble fall thing. It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, anytime the knees buckle and the waist goes backwards and the chest goes forward and the head goes sideways, and it's just, it's just an absolute crumble. You know, it's always a good highlight reel.
Yeah. We missed the Courtney Casey, Angela Hill, but I think anybody that listened to us break that fight down sort of knew that that was a possibility, in the sense that it was going to go to decision and it was probably going to go to split decision. It's hard to be mad when you get a split decision wrong, because if you look at that fight, Angela Hill landed more strikes, but Courtney Casey did more damage with the strikes that she landed. It's hard to argue that it's split decision. How do you argue a split decision? You know, it's just, especially that was in the truest sense of a split decision. It was not like a weird Jacare, what you call it, like a Jacare Romero decision, or better yet, a Ross Pearson Diego Sanchez decision, where, oh gosh, that was probably one of the worst robberies I've seen in MMA. It's hard. I'm not going to get mad about missing a split decision. I'm not going to get mad about it. So, the other side of that, the other one we missed was Brian Barberena and Jake Ellenberger. I sold myself on the Rudy storybook ending there. That's my fault. I dropped the ball on that. I should have let logic prevail there. But I just, you know, I guess maybe I have a soft spot in my heart where I want to see all these guys from the old guard ride off into the sunset and leave on their own power. But all too often it ends in like a Anderson Silva, Rich Franklin, Tyron Woodley, Josh Koscheck, Kelvin Gastelum, Michael Bisping, heck, at this point, Brian Barberena, Jake Ellenberger kind of situation. So it's never pretty.
Randy Couture.
Yeah. Machida Couture is another good one.
That nasty front kick.
Yeah, that was bad. But Davison Figueiredo, we got that right. And Eric Anders, Tim Williams, we got Eric Anders right. The 1.5 was wrong. But that's because Tim Williams came out and fought a great fight and was arguably even going into the third round before he got his soul kicked out of his body. We missed the 1.5 on that, but I don't think anybody expected Tim Williams to come out and fight the fight that he had, especially Tim Williams. So we got Eric Anders right. We missed the 1.5. We missed Barberena, Jake Ellenberger, and we missed Angela Hill. So, as far as just money line goes, we were 4-2. Considering the various prop bets, we were 3-3. So not bad. That puts us at 9-4 for the whole card, or 9-5. So either, I'm sorry, 8-5. So it's still pretty good. No matter which way you slice it, you're looking at 69% or, whatever the other one is, 58 point something or other. So not bad at all. So
no, that's a good weekend in my book, especially on, one event. Just one UFC card. It's not like we were picking all different sports.
Right.
Just being able to crush one card like that, that's always a good weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And we got a lot coming up this week, this week forthcoming too, because, we got football. Football's in full effect. We're going to do something different today too, a little treat for everybody. We've got some Premier League picks from our one and only in-house expert, Tyler Thorne. So if you're cool with that, man, let's get him on the line. Let's get this going.
Yeah, that works.
All right, cool.
All right, guys. I'm sitting down with our first special guest on the Fistful Cash podcast. We're going to go over some EPL picks, the Premier League. I'd like to welcome on Tyler Thorne. How's it going, man?
It's going good, man. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
All right, well, let's just get down to business. We're going to go over some Premier League picks for this weekend, a couple games you and I looked at that we both think will be exciting games this weekend. Let's start off with the Crystal Palace at home versus Southampton.
Yeah, definitely. I like Crystal Palace to get the win at home in this one. And as far as odds go, last I looked, -110. So you're close to even money as far as betting goes. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah, I think Crystal Palace at home is the right play. They've been an absolute force at home. Southampton had their midfielder sent off in the 2-1 loss. I think that taking a playmaker off the field is really going to affect them. And I just think Crystal Palace from top to bottom is the better team, and I think they're in better form right now.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. And like you said, they're at home at Selhurst Park. That's really part of what's kept them up in the Premier League the past few years is their home form. They are a force there. I mean, they play the big six teams tough. So definitely they can get a win against Southampton. Biggest factor in my mind, Wilfried Zaha, 2 goals so far this season. You know, was linked with a host of big clubs this summer. He's a genuine match winner, electric, dribbling, striking, you know, from anywhere near the box. So as far as a guy who can pull the win out of nothing, he's your guy. He's on Crystal Palace. So, you know, I like him at home.
All right. So our first play on the Fistful Cash podcast, Premier League edition, is Crystal Palace -110 at home. Let's move into our next match. And we've got Everton at home versus Huddersfield.
Yeah, this last I checked, Everton 195. I love them for the win. In my mind, this is a no-brainer. Huddersfield can't score. You know, last season, only 28 goals in the Premier League in the whole season. So far this year, 1 goal, and that 1 goal was in a 6-1 thrashing at the hands of Manchester City, so kind of an irrelevant goal. I don't see where they're going to get a goal from, and as long as Everton can pull one out of the bag at least at home, they should get the win.
Yeah, I was actually looking at a couple, you know, little fun plays, little inside bets inside this game. And Theo Walcott to get a goal. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good bet. He's been in great form so far this season. Also, they're not going to have Richarlison on the left-hand side because of his red card last week. So Theo Walcott's going to be your main creator, you know, down the flank. And he always has a habit of popping up in the right side at the box to finish off some chances. So if you're going to bet an Everton player to score, I mean, he's definitely a good guy to go with.
All right. So we got Everton at -195. Into our third match. I have a feeling you're going to go with the underdog here.
I am.
We're going to go with Fulham versus Brighton.
Yeah, so I love Fulham. They're a +225 to win on the road. Now, I think the odds are like that because it's still early in the season. You've got two teams that, you know, they're predicted to be maybe mid-table, lower half. So no one's really a strong favorite, but I love Fulham. I love the brand of soccer they play. They're exciting. They go out to attack. And, you know, that's going to play well for an entertaining game on the road because Brighton is not just going to sit back and defend at home. So I think Fulham's more talented, and I could see them getting a win and, you know, something high scoring along the lines of 3-2, something, you know, something in that range.
Now, the form that Brighton's in doesn't scare you at all. You know, that I know they lost 1-0 to Liverpool, but they missed a clear-cut chance to get the equalizer in the closing minutes. And they outplayed an absolutely star-studded Manchester United team.
They did, you know, and that result against Manchester United is obviously historic for them. It was great, but I think it comes down to Manchester United made a few mistakes, and I'll give Brighton credit. They punished them for it. But, you know, with the Liverpool game, yes, they did miss the chance to equalize at the end, but it almost looked like Liverpool shut it down. They took it into first gear and just tried to cruise to a win, control the game. And that's not something that Fulham's going to do against them. I think this game's going to be a lot more back and forth, you know, chance at both ends. And I do think it'll be high scoring. I just like Fulham to come out on top with the form that their striker Mitrovic is in. Their midfielder, you know, Jean-Michel Seri hit an absolute rocket last week. He looks like a steal that they signed in summer. So I just think they have a lot of attacking threat that's going to get some goals.
Yeah. So going with the +225, the -195, and the -110, you're going to be looking, if you wanted to throw a three-team parlay, and you're looking at something like 8.5 to 9 to 1 on your money. I mean, is that something you would recommend, or would you play all three of these individually since soccer does have the draw factor? Would you just play all three individual, or would you recommend a parlay in this factor?
I would say throwing a parlay on maybe two of them that you like is a good play, because like you said, the draw factor in soccer, you never know. So you pick all three, you get two right, and there's a 90th minute equalizer to, you know, ruin your bet in one of them. But if you take two of them and parlay two of them, I think that's where you can make some money on it. Not as good of odds, but better chance to win.
Okay. And, you know, going from one end of football to the other, it's week one, man. College football's upon us. I know you're excited. I'm stoked. We've been waiting, you know, 6 months for this. We've got some big games this weekend. As a West Virginia fan, you know, and a Tennessee hater, you've got the ideal week one matchup for you. Just give me a little rundown on what you think's going to happen in this WVU-Tennessee matchup.
To be honest with you, this isn't just coming from, you know, a WVU fan or a Tennessee hater. I see it as quite a beatdown in WVU's favor. Tennessee's first year with a new coach, so you never quite know what to expect. But WVU, you've got one of the top quarterbacks in the country coming back, one of the top receivers and receiving core as a whole. And the way they played last season, as long as they come out on semi, you know, the same page with Greer, with Sills, with Jennings, with Sims, I don't see any way they don't drop 40 to 50 on Tennessee, and I don't see how Tennessee can keep up with that.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're a dedicated listener. I know you heard my preseason pick as far as winning the conference, and, you know, I went with WVU to plus 650. I think WVU absolutely throttles them. I kind of might want to say it might even be worse if Butch Jones was still there because he was such a terrible coach.
Yeah, I think it would be, that's for sure.
But after Will Greer left Florida and really came into his own in this offensive scheme at West Virginia, the year he was putting on last year before his nasty injury with that dive at the goal line, you know, he's a Heisman favorite. Like he's a top five guy as far as the Heisman goes. I think he comes out, and I'm saying Will Greer, 325 yards and probably five touchdowns.
I couldn't agree more, because like you said, he's a Heisman favorite. And if he wants to be a Heisman favorite and a contender all season, you can't take weeks off. He's got to come out firing week one. He's got to come out with a point to prove, hey, I'm still here and I'm ready to rock for this Heisman campaign. And not only do I think he can, I think he will, you know, emphatically in week one.
Right. And it's an SEC. It's, you know, it's an SEC opponent. It's not a slouch. You're not playing, you know, you're not playing some scrub Midwest team. These are the games that West Virginia has to win in order to compete with Oklahoma and Texas and teams.
Correct. Like that. And like you said, you know, that you had them at a plus 650 to win the conference. Not that I'm saying they're the best team in the conference. I think that you have to say that's Oklahoma until proven otherwise. But as far as odds for betting and the talent to do it, I mean, if not this year for WVU, then when?
Yeah, Dan Holgerson's going to have his guys ready to play. I think I saw WVU at like a minus 10. I might buy the half a point, take a minus 9.5, and sit back and just get ready to cash that check, because I think that's a sure.
I agree with you. I think as far as sure things go, it's going to be harder to find more of a sure thing than that.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on. We'll definitely, this isn't the last time that our listeners are going to hear from you. I'm sure we'll have you on throughout both football seasons. And we look forward
to I'll look forward to being here. Thanks for having me. And I look forward to hearing the podcast. Bye.
Yep. Thanks, man. See ya. All right. So, you know, we got our picks from Thorne. It was nice to have him on.
Yeah, for sure.
Different side, a little different sport. Like me and him talked about, football is in full effect on the American soil and over in the UK. We got his opinion on some Premier League picks for this weekend. There's some games that I'm excited about as far as college football here in America goes. It's officially week one. You know, we're 10 days away from the NFL season starting. Words can't describe how excited I am. I've been waiting all summer for this.
Football's back, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Football is
back. All right. What are you excited about? I mean, share with the group, man. What do you got? What are you excited about?
So I wrote down five games, the top five games this weekend that I'm excited for. The first one, Oklahoma versus FAU. So Kyler Murray, his debut, you know, the predecessor to Baker Mayfield. You know, this kid got drafted into the MLB, but said, hey, Oklahoma, I'm going to play 1 year at quarterback for you guys. See if we can make a run at this thing. See if we can win a national championship. And then I'm going to baseball.
Right. So
this kid's trying to prove something. You know, baseball is where the money's at. You get drafted straight out of high school and you have a spot on a professional roster. You're crazy to pass it up. But I admire what the kid's doing, proving that he's a dual sport athlete. I can't wait to see him play, especially against a Lane Kiffin team and FAU.
Yeah.
You know, Lane Kiffin, there's never a dull moment with this guy. And I want to see Kyler Murray come out and absolutely throttle FAU. Now, on FAU's side, they're getting their quarterback back in DeAndre Johnson, who actually had blood clots all through his throwing arm last year and missed all but one game. He was on Last Chance U with Buddy. You know, he was at East Mississippi. Really impressed there. He was originally a Florida State signing. When Lane Kiffin left, DeAndre got kicked out of Florida State for physical assault. Goes to East Mississippi, wins the national championship with East Mississippi, and then he's actually Lane Kiffin's first signing at FAU. Didn't get to play.
Spoiler alert.
So it'll be cool to see him play, finally get a chance to, you know, prove what he's got. You don't go to Florida State and be expected to start as a freshman if you're some slouch.
So right. I'm
looking forward to the Kyler Murray versus DeAndre Johnson quarterback matchup in that game. My second game, we've got a top 25 matchup in Miami versus LSU. LSU, they're a defensive school. Their offense the past couple years since Leonard Fournette left has been so poor. I think Miami rolls them in this game. But Rozier, their quarterback, had an absolute meltdown at the end of the year last year, which killed their national championship hopes. And now he's got a freshman coming in from behind him, and Nkosi Perry, 6'5", 210-pound mobile quarterback. So Rozier's got a fire lit underneath him. It'll be interesting to see how he bounces back. But I think Miami, too much talent on offense for LSU to keep up. But I still think it's a top 25 matchup. Big ACC school, big SEC school. So those are always fun to watch. We got a top 25 ACC matchup in Virginia versus Florida State.
Let's go.
Florida State, championship or bust year in, year out. And we know they had a down year last year when DeAndre Francois went down in week one.
That was a
big loss for them. They were beating Alabama in that game. That was their game to lose. And then Francois goes down and Alabama crushed them.
Made the most of the situation.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's what Alabama does. I mean, week in and week out. So, but with Francois coming back, you've got your Heisman candidate, you know, running the offense again. It's number 20 versus number 19. You know, they both still have some work to do to get into the playoffs. But it's early in the season. You know, if you're going to take a loss, you take it early in the season. Everybody in college knows
right,
that.
Right.
You don't want to take a loss in, you know, week 11. That's no good. What else do we have? Oh, personally, this is the one I'm looking forward to the most.
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Michigan at Notre Dame.
Let's go.
Yes. The yearly rivalry was discontinued. I think we get it once every 4 or 5 years now. Last time it was at the Big House in Michigan. But this time we've got him in South Bend with touchdown Jesus looking over top. Brian Kelly's got to do something with this team or he's gone. He's got too much talent this year. This has to be the year they make the playoffs.
Right.
Brandon Wimbush is coming back at quarterback for Notre Dame. But they brought in the freshman from Pine Richland, who I got to personally see play and got to watch single-handedly win the Pennsylvania State Championship in Phil Dracovic. Finalist for Army Player of the Year, which, for those of you who don't know, it's like the high school Heisman. He was the quarterback finalist. 48 touchdowns to 4 interceptions last year, his senior year in high school. The kid's unbelievable. I don't think we see him in this game unless Wimbush gets injured.
Yeah.
But remember the name. I think he'll be the starting quarterback by the end of the year. The kid's too good not to.
Oh, he's a stud.
And the final game, as far as, the most important game of the weekend, we've got a top 10 matchup in Auburn versus Washington. Auburn coming in. Washington coming in at number 6. Two best defenses in the country. There's no doubt about it. These are the two best defenses in college football going up against each other week one. Both of them with national championship aspirations on the mind. That is going to be an absolute slugfest. I don't want to give any of my, my picks away as far as spreads go or money lines. You have to tune
right
in Thursday for that. But just as a little tease, these are the 5 games I'm looking forward to. Those are the 5 reasons why. And I think we are in for one hell of a week one.
Oh, it's going to be wild. And I already have, I think I know where you're leaning on that Washington game. And I think you and I are leaning in the same direction. But again, we want everybody to come back on Friday morning to get those. So yeah, for sure. I mean, week one of football back. It's so exciting. And especially when you have such a good slate of games too. Super exciting for sure. Real quick, I wanted to go over a couple. I want to do some housekeeping real quick, if you're cool with that.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So we're still doing the Amazon gift card giveaway. 20 reviews on iTunes. Once we get 20, we'll be in contact with one of the reviewers. We'll give you a shout out on the show. Shoot us an email. We'll get it figured out how we can get it to you, whether you want it digital or you want the hard copy in the mail. We'll figure it out from there. That's one of the things that we're doing. The other thing I wanted to do, is we haven't gone over our Patreon tier setup. So,
yeah, I think that's something we should cover, especially with all, with UFC, college football, and NFL all being in effect now.
Right. Yeah. So since everything's getting ready to start, we sort of just had it sitting there laying in wait. But I wanted to just review it real quick. So tier one members are going to get access to an entire UFC card, and you'll get access to the entire UFC card for every card that happens for the month that you're a subscriber. So if it's like a November thing where there's 4 cards planned in November, you will get from the fight pass to the main event for all 4 events. That's tier one. Tier two, you're going to get AP top 25 schools every game for college football. So you'll get all top 25 teams and their games, our picks for those, and UFC picks, which is, in my opinion, I challenge somebody out there to find somebody with our win percentage that's willing to give you that much for so little. And tier three, and this, this is the one you and I went back and forth on, and I don't know, maybe we're a little crazy. We might have to peel back on this eventually at some point. I don't know. But tier three is going to get every NFL game, every top 25 NCAA football game, and every UFC card for tier three members. I don't know a better deal. If you know one, let me know. What do you think?
Yeah, tier three, like you said, we've gone back and forth. It's almost like we're giving away too much, but that's the beauty of it. You know, happy people making people happy.
That's right.
That's what we need to do. We're all here, you know, to line our pockets and, you know, wet the beak. That's what it's all about.
For sure. And, you know, part of the reason why we're doing this this way is that there's just not enough time, and we don't want to be one of those people and that have an hour and a half long podcast or 2 hour long podcast. I want something that, you know, and we want something that you can listen to on your way to and from the job, while you're walking the dog, cutting the grass, whatever. So that way, you know, you get in, get out, get that information and go. And there's just not enough time to cover everything. It would be real cool to just cover everything and just say, you know, X, Y, and Z, this is what we think you should do. But one, you don't get any analysis. And two, you don't get any context. And three, it's just an overload of information. So this way we can focus on games that we are excited about. We can give you detailed breakdown in our research and what we found and what we think is going to happen and why we think it's going to happen. So that pours into that whole immersive experience thing that we talked about, and trying to make the wagering on the games more fun and make it more relatable for everybody. So to just sit here and say, all right, we're going to do, you know, a full slate of football games, both pro and college. Oh yeah. And there's a UFC event this weekend. Nobody wants to sit here for 3 hours and listen to a podcast and that goes over all of that stuff. So, you know, we take snippets, little bite-sized digestible chunks, give those out here to the public, but the real meat and bones of what we're doing and what we're about is in those Patreon tiers. So we want to encourage everybody to navigate towards a Patreon page, which will be in the show description. And maybe see, you know, if there's something there that you know, really strikes a chord with you and you find interesting.
Yeah, and make sure, you know, follow us on social media. Get on the Instagram, Fistful of Cash, Twitter, Fistful of Cash. We'll be letting out little snippets here and there, a little, you know, a couple free plays, just to keep everybody, you know, up to date. Just make everybody a little bit of cash. So social media, definitely, you know, get on there, follow us, keep up to date on it. You never know when we're going to drop a little insight.
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly it too. You know, if you weren't paying attention, and granted the New Mexico State let everybody in the country down, on Saturday, but you know, if you weren't following us on social media, you didn't see that we gave a free pick away. So again, just follow us. It's not that big of a deal. You know, you're following everybody anyway. Just get on there. You know, same thing, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever. Like, subscribe, leave a review. I'm telling you right now, you know, we get these 20 up, we're sending out gift cards. You do another 20, we'll send out another one. I mean, it's like I said, we'd be remiss if we weren't trying to pay it forward. People are good to us. We want to be good to people. So that's what we're after. We're trying to make everybody, you know, we're all in this journey together. So let's make the most of it for sure.
Yeah.
So
it's going to get crazy in the sports world. We've got football this weekend, NFL next weekend. We've got NBA around the corner. We've got NHL around the corner. We've got UFC running year round. We've got special guests coming on with Premier League picks. You guys don't want to miss out on this. You know, there's too much information, like he said, to go over in, you know, a single podcast. You know, do yourself a favor, follow us, like, subscribe, and you know, stick with us through this journey. You know, we're burning a trail through the books right now.
Yeah.
And that trail's for you to follow. So,
I mean, I'll tell you right now, you're looking at not this weekend coming up, but next weekend, we've got NFL, we've got college, but we also have Woodley versus Till. Are you kidding me? Dude, it's going to be, oh my goodness, it's going to be wild. You know, I'm telling you, I'm calling my shot right now on this Woodley versus Till thing. I'm going 70% on the whole card. I'm calling my shot. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's so far off. I mean, we were, you know, one fight off this time from going 76%. So I don't see why that's out of the court.
Well, this one, the Woodley versus Till one is a little, is going to be a little bit of a little bit more of a shakeup. There's there's a lot of conflicting styles. So it's going to be a matter of who can impose will. So it's going to be fantastic. And then, you know, like we got week one NFL. Come on. This is going to be wild. So, yeah, for sure. But, yeah, it's running. We're short on time. We're running it long. But I just wanted to do some housekeeping and get that cleared up. We absolutely killed it this weekend. We're on pace, and we're going to kill it this upcoming weekend. So, you know, tune back in on Friday. We'll break down those five games that that you gave us little teasers to, and then you never know, maybe we'll have a little something else geared up for Friday as well, some other plays going into the weekend that we like. So between now and then, everybody get geared up, get ready, get on the book, see what your lines are at, and let's get ready for Friday's show.
Yeah, you know, it's always a pleasure. You could be listening to another podcast, but you're listening to us, and you know what we say around here: clear eyes, full fist. Can't lose.
Can't lose. All right, guys. Take care.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.